Welcome to the Family Bible Study. Mr. Harold Camping will discuss the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in the light of the prophecies of Jeremiah. This will be study number 209. And now here's Mr. Harold Camping.
Again, we together have the privilege of opening our Bibles and looking into them to find the truth. And every part of the Bible is the Word of God, every part. Now, most of us are more familiar with the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John, or maybe Romans, or maybe Galatians, or Revelation, and possibly Genesis, and a few other books of the Bible. But we are in Jeremiah, and we've been in Jeremiah for a long time, and it's a very, very integral part of the Bible. It is every bit the Word of God just as much as everything else. It is not the most popular book in the world, that's for sure, or in the Bible, because it is a scripture that really sets forth the terrible news that there finally is an end to the church age, that God's judgment does come upon those who call themselves by His name, those who are His people. We don't like any of this language. It gets awful or close to home, and it gets very personal, because we, most of us, have grown up in the churches, and we have felt that we are God's special people, and we're completely outside of the wrath of God. Everything is well with us. We are safe and secure. We've been baptized. We have made confession of faith. We're faithful church members. All is well. And now we learn to our utter consternation that God has set up a testing program. He has set up the mechanism by which He is separating the sheep from the goats. That is, He is separating the wheat from the tares, and that mechanism is that He is taught in the Word of God that there came a time, past tense. It is already past a time when God was finished with the local congregations. Their work had been accomplished. The complete fullness, the 144,000, typified by the number 144,000, had all come in to the body of Christ, and now God is finished. But at the same time, God reviews the character of the local congregations. He finds that they are a long ways away from truth. They have mutilated the Word of God. They have added doctrines that are not found in the Bible. They have changed doctrines that are in the Bible to suit themselves, and they have come up with another kind of a salvation plan than that of the Bible. It's a do-it-yourself salvation plan. And there are just a lot of things that have gone wrong, and now God's judgment has come. And it's the preparatory judgment that is going to transition to that final day. And this is the message of the book of Jeremiah. Oh yes, for here and there are shafts of sunlight shining through where God is talking in a few verses now and then about His whole plan of salvation, and that is a relief. Oh my, is it a relief. Fact is, we've been going through Jeremiah 10, and the last few studies, we have had great joy and relief as God has emphasized the greatness of God, the wonder of God, the majesty of God, and all the other mighty attributes of God. And so that has been a very, very helpful relief to the constant emphasis that God's people are under the judgment of God. We got down through verse 16 of Jeremiah 10, and there we have a final statement of the glory of God, because it said the portion of Jacob is not like them, that is, like those who follow false gods and their images and so on. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod or the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And this is a final statement to what has gone before, indicating that God does have an Israel, that is he is the Lord of. He is the Lord of hosts. The hosts are all those who are true believers. But now in verse 17, and that's where our lesson begins today, we get back into this a terrible thing that God has been talking about. Gather up thy wares out of thy land, out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling you, sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they might find it so. Here we find again a direct statement, very, very complicated language. It's not easy language. Gather up thy wares. Now, the King James translators had a little problem with this word. It is only used here, or maybe one other place in the Bible. It's not commonly used at all, but it is associated, a word that is associated with the idea of being a merchant, and that's why they translated it wares. Gather up thy wares, gather up thy merchandise, if you will. What has been the merchandise? Well, the merchandise of the true believers is the gospel. We are merchants. Remember Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." It is the call of the merchant. It's the merchant who sent the ships of Tarshish out and brought in the gold and the silver and all the precious things. We are sending out the gospel as merchant men, and it comes in with those who are true, who become true believers. But now God is telling those in the local congregations, gather up your wares, whatever you gospel you think you have, gather it up, because I am going to do something terrible to you, which we'll read about in the next verse. But before we get there, gather up thy wares out of the land, that is out of where you are in what is now a representation of the kingdom of God. And these days, those are the local congregations. Those who are in the local congregation, take your gospel, whatever it is, O inhabitant of the fortress. Now, the fortress, this is a word that is commonly used, translated siege. That is the city that is assaulted, that is besieged, and it is a strong city. We find, for example, in Psalm 31, verse 21. In Psalm 31, we find the same word, the same noun. It's put here as an adjective, but it actually is a noun. But in Psalm 31, verse 21, we read, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." And the idea is in the city that is a fortress. The fortified city, the city that has great strength, the city that can resist the siege, that can resist any kind of an assault. That is the kind of a city that we are in when we're in the kingdom of God. We're in a very, very safe place, a place where we cannot be harmed. But on the other hand, that city now is being besieged. That is the corporate external representation of the kingdom of God. The local congregations is being besieged. This same word is used, for example, in a very curious place, a very related place, in Jeremiah 19, verse 9. Jeremiah 19, verse 9. And it is a sad place to look for another example of its usage, but it is exactly the same word. We're beginning in verse 8, "I will make this city," what city? That strong city that we are safe in if we are a child of God. "I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege," there it is, the same word, "in the siege and straitness," that is the trouble and the oppression, the pressing that is coming against it, "wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them," bring pressure upon them from every side. And so the strong city, the fortified city, now is a city under siege. It is being besieged by the enemy. It is because God has come as the judge to bring his wrath upon it. And this is what God is underscoring here. And that goes right on then into verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. Now that again is a very complex sentence. We wonder what really is God saying here. Let's take it piece by piece. For thus saith the Lord. Now, again and again and again, as we go through the Bible, God says, for thus saith the Lord. Look at the word Lord. All letters are capitalized, means for thus saith Jehovah. Oh my, there are those who say, you know, when we look at the Old Testament, we see God in his wrath and in his anger. And when we see the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, he loves everyone and he's a God of love. And they don't realize that Jehovah is the Lord Jesus. Remember Isaiah 43, I, Jehovah, am your Savior, and beside me there is none other. Christ is the Savior, therefore Jehovah is the Savior, therefore Jehovah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Jesus speaking, for thus saith Jesus, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once. Yeah, the what land? It's talking about the strong city. It's talking about the land that is the place where God had his word, where he had his name. It is the only place that would be in view, as the Jeremiah 10 is setting up the situation that exists today, are the local congregations. That is where the Bible should have remained, that they are the ones who had been given the task of sending the gospel out into the world. But now God is saying, I'm going to sling out the inhabitants of the land. You know, there's a very interesting statement found in the Bible related to this. It's in 1 Samuel 25. In 1 Samuel 25, Abigail, who is married to this man who resists David, Nabal, and said he's going to fight with David, and then Abigail, his wife, saw how crazy her husband was, how ridiculous this was, and so she came with food for David and his men, and we won't get into that whole story, but then she made a beautiful statement, and obviously she's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because she could not have had this in her own thinking. But in 1 Samuel 25, verse 28, let's begin there. She is speaking to David. And as she speaks to David, she, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is addressing him, recognizing that he is a picture of the Messiah, that he is a picture of Christ himself. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord, that is David, that is the Lord Jesus, a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. You can see how that just fits perfectly with the Lord Jesus. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee. And she is talking about Saul, because Saul was out trying to kill David, and Saul in this whole scenario is a picture of Satan, as Satan is constantly at war with Jesus, trying to win a victory. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. A very, very interesting phrase that the soul of my Lord will be bound in the bundle of life. In other words, Christ is secure with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, all those who resist God, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Now, that's very picturesque language because we don't use these in battle today. Youngsters sometimes use them as a toy, but you know what a sling was? It had a piece of leather that you could put a stone in, and it had two long leather thongs, and then that stone was placed there, and this was wound or swung over their heads, and then right at the appropriate moment, you let go of one of the thongs, and the rock would go. And that was exactly the sling that that David used, you know, to kill Goliath. It was just it's very descriptive that when God is saying, I will sling them out. Well, that was Christ as a stone that hit Goliath. But in this case, I will sling out the souls of thine enemies. It's like God is just going to, like a projectile, they're going to be forced out of the kingdom of God, and you know, and out of the grace of God, out of the mercy of God, out of any relationship with God. It certainly conveys the idea. There's no hesitation. There is no possibility of recall. There's no possibility of change. Once that decision is made, you're gone. You're gone like a rock that is slung out from a sling. Now going back to Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah 10, therefore we read, for thus saith the Lord, verse 18, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, that is at this time. This is going to happen. This is not something way off in the wild blue yonder. Now remember, the time frame here is the church age. That is the time frame of Jeremiah. It was written 2,500, 2,700 years ago, but nevertheless, the focal point is on this time, the time of the church age, and that's this time that I will sling out the inhabitants of the land. And we say that can't be. That's an impossibility. I am eternally in the church, am I not? Didn't I make confession of faith? Am I not faithful? And so on. And God says, no, if you are not a true believer, if your trust is in your church, if your trust is in your pastor, if your trust is in your confession, if your church trust is in anything but the Bible, you are still in deep trouble. You will be slung out. You will not remain in the body of believers. You will be cast out. And at this time, I will distress them that they may find it so. There's a commentary on this particular phrase, that they may find it so. If we go to Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 10, Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 10, there we read in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 10, and again, the context is exactly the same. It is, if we go back to verse 6, in all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and so on and so on. You see, it's the same kind of a context. Ezekiel, like Jeremiah, like many parts of Isaiah, like many parts of Nahum or Joel or Hosea or Amos, they're all focusing on this terrible time, the end of the world and the end of which begins with the end of the church age and the beginning of God's wrath as it comes altogether. And then in verse 10, he says, and they shall, this is Ezekiel 6, verse 10, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. In other words, they will find out the truth. Now, they haven't found out the truth yet. Unfortunately, we are well into this time when God is bringing judgment on the local congregations, when he is preparing the world for that final judgment day. And the world and the church can't see it. Everything looks wonderful. Everything looks great, you know. We're so happy in our local congregations, and the world thinks that they're solving their problems more and more, where the life expectancy of man looks like it's going to get a little greater. And we found more answers to better communication and better travel and better this and better that and so on. And so we're doing very well, thank you. And so they don't recognize it. But just as Israel would not recognize, even when the enemy was at the gates of Jerusalem back there in the year 587 BC, they still had the faulty idea, and it's built upon a desire that won't go away. God could never destroy us. An enemy can never destroy us. We are God's people. We're the special people. We're the apple of his eye. God will never destroy us. Yeah, the enemy's at the gate, but we are Jerusalem. God will not destroy us. He just can't do that. They're not listening to God. And so even though the enemy is at the gates, they still don't believe it until the enemies have broken down the gates and they're in the city and ravishing the women and destroying the children and doing all the terrible, terrible things that an enemy does when it conquers a city. And so God is saying, and you will know that I have not said this in vain. Unfortunately, and this is so unfortunate and so terrible, it'll be too late. It'll be the day of judgment. Did I not prophesy in your name? Why, I was a wonderful preacher. I was so faithful in declaring the word of God. And God will say, I never knew you. Depart from ye that work iniquity. Now you will know. We have come to that time when we have to say goodbye insofar as this program is concerned. It's sad that we have to close on this ominous note that we've been talking about, but that's the way it is. We have to leave that with the Lord. We're just going to remember that, Lord willing, tomorrow we can continue to develop this and see how it all finally begins to tie together.